And reason Miss Jenny didn't tell him, he might not have been here if he'd have known. We are grateful for the opportunity to stand and preach. I grew up in church, but I never really got it that young people could live for Jesus. I grew up in a smaller church, and the age gap in the church that I grew up was me and then my dad, and nobody in between. And around ninth grade, I got to hanging around Michael John and Michael Jett and Billy Jack and Brian, a bunch of boys, and y'all were going out to Brown's Chapel. And I never knew what a youth group was. I never understood that young people go visiting. I never understood that, young people have a choir. And so I appreciate the impact you've had on my life. I appreciate a lot of Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we would come up to Morningstar and shoot basketball. And so I always wanted to preach at Morningstar. And never got that opportunity until Miss Jenny asked me. But I'm just kidding. But this church has been near and dear to my heart through the years. And good to see a lot of familiar faces that have stuck with it, amen, and still running the race. And I'm grateful to be here this morning. I look around and see a lot of people I've known through the years. And it's a beautiful picture of grace, amen, how that God can take a bunch of broken pieces, a bunch of ruined lives, and somehow take them and use them for His glory. And so we bless His name for that. And I'm thankful that He's the God of restoration. Amen. He's the God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance. And He's rich in mercy. And I bless His name for that. But thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning. We'll trust the Lord to give us what we need. And hopefully we'll be some kind of hope and encouragement to you this morning. If you got a copy of the Word of God, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I want to read a verse out of Jeremiah chapter number 3. Verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." So I guess if we take it at that value, pastors are a gift from the Lord. Amen. And let me say this by way of introduction. I normally don't preach no more than about 55 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Some of y'all's mad already. We over at Casey Creek, where I'm at, we got a new pastor about a month and a half ago. And man, I'm going to tell you this. You got two men of God I know of that serve here. But if you don't know what it's like to be looking for a pastor, you better count that a double blessing, because finding a true man of God that has a burden for lost people, that'll stand on the King James Bible, and that will preach the word without apology out of a heart of love is hard to find. It is hard to find. And so I'm glad that y'all have a staff here that gives you and feeds you what the Lord have you to have, amen? It's not always easy, but it's what's needed, isn't it? Ephesians chapter number 4, if you can stand, if you're able, I invite you to do that. And if you're not able, that's okay. But Ephesians chapter number 4, let's begin reading verse number 11. And Paul says here that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here's why he did it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But we're speaking in truth, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Would you pray with me? Our Lord, we love you, and we are grateful and tremendously humbled by the opportunity and the privilege to stand and preach your word. Lord, what a responsibility it is. And Lord, I have no problem admitting that I need you this morning. I pray you'd empty of myself. I pray that you'd get me out of the way. I pray you'd hide me in the cross and cover me in the blood. I pray, Lord, I'd simply be a voice box for Jesus this morning. I pray, Lord, that your will be done, that your spirit have free will and free reign. Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified and magnified above all else. And Lord, we ask if there be somebody here today that's never been saved, never been born again, never been washed in the blood of Calvary, may today be the day of salvation for that individual. We pray for those who may be discouraged and down and out. We pray that through the preaching and the teaching of your word, that you give them the hope and the encouragement and the help they need. Lord, we pray that you'd bless this church. Thank you for their testimony through the years. Thank you for those who serve here. And we pray you continue to bless in the days ahead. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I apologize if I clear my throat. My little girl turned 12 years old yesterday. And we had a laser tag party. And if you get a little age on you, it feels a lot better than the paintballs. But we were rolling through the field in the pasture yesterday quite a bit. So Miss Myra was waving at me earlier, and my eyes were so glassy over, I couldn't even see her, and then I finally caught her. So if I hack a little bit, just bear with me, okay? And may the Lord bless us and help us today. Well, Pastor appreciation. I've told you earlier that to have a man of God standing by you, standing with you, standing for you, you ought to thank God for that every day. You ought to pray for your pastor. You ought to love your pastor. You ought to encourage your pastor. I'm glad that God calls men to preach. I'm glad that God ordained the office of a pastor. The Bible says if a man desires the office of a pastor, the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing, right? And so be glad that you've got a man that has a heart to do and be what God's called him to do and to be. Now, I'm glad that God calls us to different varieties and different capacities. I'm glad that God gifts us and talents us differently. We don't all do the same thing. A few years ago, my daughter and myself, and my wife said she didn't, but she was guilty by association. We got caught up in a show called Dr. Pimple Popper. Anybody remember Dr. Pimple Popper? It's one of those shows that you're not going to watch, but you have to watch. And you're not going to look while you're watching, but you have to look. And then all of a sudden, you're mesmerized by Dr. Pimple Popper. I could not be Dr. Pimple Popper. This brother that led the music earlier. I promise you, you don't want me to do that. God called me to preach, and I ain't real good at that either. You know, sometimes I wonder, Lord, we get this right, you know. You're dealing with much here. But aren't you glad that God gifts people and talents people in different ways? And he takes all of that and uses it for his glory, for the glory of his church, for the building of his kingdom. And I'm glad that if we are unified, if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, that God can take all of that, a good pastor, and build his local church. And so I'm grateful that the Lord works the way he does. This letter that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, this is one of Paul's prison epistles. And not too long ago, we went through the book of Acts in our Sunday school lesson. And, you know, people have different speculations about Paul. Some people think that he never pastored a church, so what right does he have? And some people say, well, I think he did pastor. A lot of people think he pastored for about 3 years here at Ephesus. I don't know for sure if he did or if he didn't. But if you study and read and learn anything about the life of Paul and what he went through for the gospel's sake, mark it down, it will do us well to listen to what he has to say. This is not a man who is just blowing hot air. This is not a man who is just giving his opinion. But this is a man who has lived the calling. A man who has not just talked the talk, but he has walked the walk. And so Paul writes here to the church at Ephesus, and he has something to say here about how God set up the local church and about the callings that God placed on men and what their responsibilities are. And so I began to think into this text and trying to put my mind and wrap my mind and my thoughts around this service today. What makes a pastor great? If God calls a man to pastor, then surely God wants him to succeed. If God calls a man to fill the office of a pulpit in a local church, surely God wants to use him in the capacity that the church would grow and multiply and believers would be added to the church. Amen? We're not just here just to fill a vacant spot. We're not just here just to pass a few hours and feel good about ourselves, but we are here to grow in the faith. We are here to mature in our walk with Christ. And so, Paul, what do you have to say here? Well, there's one thing that I've learned about Paul. And here in Ephesians, he comes to the place where he is trying to iron out some wrinkles that they're dealing with. He's trying to get a few things straightened out. Now, here's one good sign of a true man of God. He will always want to see the church prospering and healthy. And Paul has to deal with some unfortunate circumstances here. There's been a couple of fellows by the name of Alexander and Hymenaeus, and they have begun to, what Paul calls, they are dealing with fables and endless genealogies. In other words, they're detouring from the gospel. Now you keep in mind, anytime you've got a teacher or a preacher who tries to distort the gospel, diminish the gospel, detour around the gospel, or downplay the gospel, you better get out. You better get out because the ship is going down. It doesn't matter what you and I may think about it. The Word of God simply says this, that it pleased God through the foolishness of what? Preaching to save those that are lost. That's not my opinion. That's not just what I think about it. That's not just something that my daddy taught me. That's not just something that I learned in Sunday school or that my pastor tells me. But that's what the Word of God says. That if I want to be pleasing in promoting the gospel, there needs to be some preaching. Amen? And the Bible says that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. So what are some characteristics of a biblical pastor? Number one, he'll promote the gospel as the solution for man's greatest need. He promotes the gospel above everything else. Everything that he does, everything that he seeks to do, everything that he leads the local church to do will be driven by the fact that he wants to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 3 tells us something. That the time's going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine. They won't want it. They don't want to hear it. And you don't have to go far to find that that's true. You don't have to preach in very many churches to find out that everybody's not Morningstar Baptist Church. Everybody's not Casey Creek Baptist Church. There are a lot of people out there that would much rather be entertained. They would much rather be petted and pampered. And let me say this. I think the man of God ought to love you. I think he ought to pet you. I think he ought to pamper you. But at the same time, there's going to be times when he's going to pop you a little bit too. I never doubted my mom and daddy loved it, even when she popped them hands, you know. And she done all of that out of love. And so be grateful that you got a preacher that's going to love you, going to wrap his arms around you, but at the same time, he's going to love you enough to tell you, you need to get that right. Amen? 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 We're coming with it. He promotes the gospel. I'm really bothered. I'm not going to waste time giving my opinion. I don't think I ought to do that, but I do feel like I should say this. I'm really bothered by churches within just a few miles. I live over in Cowpens. You know, I live in Cowpens. But within a few miles of where I live, probably a few miles from here, there are churches growing by the multitudes. Honestly, I mean, they're packed out this morning. And there is little to no gospel Bible preaching being done. I don't know why that surprises us. Paul said it himself. There's going to come a time they're not going to endure it. They're not going to want it. But that does not give me the excuse not to do what God's called me to do. Amen? And so a true man of God, he'll promote the gospel above everything else. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, what did he say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why am I not ashamed of the gospel? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Why do I stand with confidence this morning? Why do I hold a Bible and believe a Bible? Why do I promote Jesus? Because I know that within Him, within the power of Jesus Christ, within the story of Him giving Himself on a cross to die on our behalf, shedding His blood for me and for you, being buried, rising again on the third day so that we could be resurrected in Him. Within that blessed story, within that blessed hope, that's the power of God, that He can take broken lives, that He can take ruined lives, that He can take people who feel inadequate and insufficient and no good and give you and do something within you that you never thought attainable. That's the power of God, how that He changes lives. Nobody else can do that. Nothing else in this world can do that like Jesus. Nothing else. He promotes the gospel as the solution to man's greatest need. Man must recognize their need for Christ. You'll never be found until you're lost. And so that true man of God, he's going to promote Jesus as man's greatest need. He's going to let that man understand that that only happens in Jesus. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 16, therefore if any man be where? In Christ. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He doesn't become that new creature until he becomes where? In Christ. And any man that will stand and tell you anything different is a heretic. You need to get away from that. You need to thank God you've got a man, you've got an associate pastor, you've got teachers that stand and tell you what the Word of God says because they love you. And then he'll tell you this, it can only happen in Christ and through Christ. He is the answer. It's not a new method. It's not a new message. It's not anything new that we need except for a new life. And that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the men who will promote the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ above everything else. Not only that, but he preaches and he teaches biblical truth. If you look back at our text, verse number 12, he calls men for this reason, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You read verses number 14 and 15, it tells you a little bit more about that. It has never been God's will for His people to be confused about what they believe. And we've never lived in a day where people are more confused about what they believe. People that go to church don't have a clue why you believe what you believe. You just know you believe it because you've always been told it. Thank God for men who will study, who will try to prepare and give the truth. When I was at Fruitland, I never will forget. Did anybody, I know Michael John, but did anybody ever know Brother Randy Kilby? He was the president at Fruitland Bible College. Anybody ever know him? He was a very spiritual man. I remember he come into chapel one day, and he just walked up here, and he just sang, Jesus is all the world to me. He just sang that song, and this is what he said. I just had that on my heart. Went and sat down. President of our Bible college. I remember this statement that he made. He was either preaching that morning or just fixing to introduce the speaker, but he held up his Bible. And he said, man, I want you to understand something. He said, life is one big test with no cheat sheet. But you do have a study guide. If there's ever a day where mama and daddy, Sunday school teachers and pastors need to preach and teach to our kids why we believe that Jesus is the only way, it's today. If there's ever a day to where they need to feel confident about why they go to the Baptist church, it's today. If there's ever a day they need to know what sets Jesus apart from everybody else, it's today. And thank God for men who will study and stand and try to give the biblical truth on why we believe Jesus. It's not just a vibe. It's not just a sensation. It's not just a good warm feeling. But it is the anchor for our souls, amen? It is the anchor for our lives in the days that we live in. He preaches and teaches biblical truth. He's given himself to study. He's consistent in trying to actually live what he tells you to live. It is very easy to tell somebody what they ought to do. You know what I'm starting to eat a lot lately? It's shoe leather. Because I can remember being younger. And I would make this statement even before I had kids. Well, I had kids. Well, if the Lord ever blesses me with kids. And I'm coming to find out it ain't so easy as just saying what I'm going to do. But sometimes it's tough to actually live that out. And it's very easy for me to tell you how to plow your garden. Until the Lord starts plowing mine. And so for a man who will study and who will rightly divide the Word of God with the heart of love and with the sense that he is doing it for your good and he is trying to practice that in front of you in his life as well, thank God for those men. Amen. He is consistent in what he lives and what he teaches. And then he must expound all Scripture. Now you say, well, that should be easy. If it's in there, he ought to just preach it. And it is easy. As long as it's something that he's not struggling with. You see, in order for a man of God to rightly divide the word of truth, he must deal with every bit of it. Nothing can be ignored or erased or left out. So sometimes he may have to deal with some uncomfortable conversations. And man, that's honing a lot of times for a preacher. Because if there's ever a time that he's looking in a mirror and preaching, it's during those times. And I tried to think on that a little bit. Because God knows we're all guilty of something. Nobody has a right to throw a rock at anybody this morning, do they? And that's what I said earlier. I'm glad that we're all just a bunch of broken pieces that somehow he's put back together and using for his glory. I tried to think on that thought a little bit. And I feel like this is something the Lord gave me. And so if you've heard it from somebody else, don't tell me, okay? Because I'm really enjoying the mindset that Lord gave me this thought. And it's this. He preaches and he teaches the whole Word of God. Not under the pretense that he always got it right. But with the passion that he wants you to. He doesn't preach with the mindset that he arrived and that he got a perfect score. But he preaches with the mindset that he looks at these young people and these kids and he says, you know what? You really can do it all through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. The way of the cross is the right way. Jesus is the answer. I've always tried to be upfront and honest with my kids. And I told my boy a long time ago. Because, you know, whether we parents realize it or not, there's some things that bother our kids. That when they don't always fit in, that really does bother them. When they are the oddball left out, that really does weigh on their heart and on their mind. I can't remember which one of mine it was, but they were in about third or fourth grade. And they come, you remember the country music singer? Was it Luke Bryan or somebody like that? Some of their friends were talking about Luke Bryan. And I never felt so happy when my kids come home and said, "Who is Luke Bryan?" You know? Some of the sweetest words my daughters ever said to me was, "Dad, will you turn on some bluegrass?" I tell you, you know, man, they need something wholesome. They need parents who will get right there with them and let them know, yes, I know it ain't easy. I know it ain't comfortable. I know it don't feel good being left out. I know that hurts. I know that weighs heavy on your mind. I know you don't like it. But I want to tell you, if we can raise our kids and teach our kids to live for Jesus and to stand even when it hurts, oh man, what a much better life. I was at the Broom game, I think it was about two Friday nights ago, I guess it was, and talking to some people, and they were saying something about hold on a minute, y'all don't think I'm lost just because I went to a Broom football game, do you? Now, y'all right? Yeah, make sure nobody. We were talking and just talking about kids in general, just, you know, things they deal with. And you know what comes to my mind is this, is more than anything, they just need a mom and daddy that'll just be straight up with them. Amen. That's not afraid to say, you know what, I dropped the ball too, son. I missed the mark too, baby. As much as I want them to think the world of me, I never walked on water. Thank God for a pastor who will deal with every bit of the Word of God, even when it's tough. Not under the pretense that he got it right, but with the passion he wants you to. Amen. A good pastor, a godly pastor, a biblical pastor, he promotes the gospel, the life-changing news that Jesus saves sinners over everything else. He preaches and teaches biblical truth. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody's changed the time on my phone. Y'all hungry? You want me to hurry up, put it in high gear, run on with? I'll give you these last two briefly, okay? He prays for spiritual discernment. He understands that God's direction must have the preeminence in his life and in the leadership of the church. With that being said, that's not always easy to explain. You remember Brother Moses, don't you? You remember Moses standing at the Red Sea, and God's leading his people, and he's bringing them out of the land of Egypt, and they are standing at the water, and they are shouting the victory. They are, thank you, Moses, for leading. Moses, you're the best we ever had. Moses, I can't thank God enough for sending you to... That is not what they're doing. The biblical word is this, murmuring. They are murmuring at the Red Sea. After all God has done, after all God has provided, after all of the ways that he has proven his leadership in the life of Moses, they get to another obstacle and they are complaining. That's the last thing a pastor needs. I don't mind discussing issues. But can I give you my pet peeve? I can't stand to keep discussing issues. Somebody says we need to paint that wall. Okay. They come in next Sunday, we need to paint that wall. That wall needs paint. Anybody ever going to paint that wall? That wall's looking bad. You can tell me any way you want to tell me, but don't tell me 100 times. You know what helps me? It's when you say, when are we going to paint that wall? When can I help you paint that wall? Your preacher don't need to be bombarded with everything that's wrong. He needs some people that's going to get in there and say, preacher, how are we going to fix this together? How are we going to move forward from here? Let's get that behind us and let's go on. Amen? And you got to understand that just because you're at the Red Sea, that doesn't mean he missed it. That doesn't mean you're not where you're supposed to be. That just means you need to sit back and wait until God works through his man to lead you across. He understands that God's spirit must be in leadership. And oftentimes, that's not normal. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is Gideon. You remember what God called Gideon to do, don't you? Gideon's going to what? You better teach these people something. Gideon's called God to do. God's called Gideon to do what? They're going to fight. They're going to war, right? Now, when you read and study about Gideon, and God finally busts his army down to 300 men, which would make me really anxious if I was going to fight. But there was something that I noticed about them going to war. They just didn't seem normal. They don't take any weapons. They take a light, a horn or a trumpet, a glass pitcher or a pitcher, and they take one more thing. You know what they take? They take a shout. And they're going to fight with those four items. You got to understand that God may lead your pastor to do some things that just don't seem normal sometimes. You just don't make sense of it. It just don't seem legit. It just don't add up. It just doesn't seem like that's going to be the way out. But if he's God's man and he's following God's leadership, you'll win the war with those four items. Amen? And then lastly, this pastor, he has a passion for the believers and for the church to progress. This is his heart's desire. He longs to see his congregation. He longs to see believers mature and grow in their faith. When you read the writings of Paul, Paul's whole motive was to spread the gospel and to see believers mature and grow in their faith. Everything that he does with those motives, to promote the gospel and to see the church progress. And that's the desire of a biblical pastor. He'll want to see the believers mature. He'll want to see the church grow. You know, we often see that and hear that all the time. God's not interested in numbers. That's, to me, a foolish statement. Why did he send the disciples out 2 by 2? If he's not interested in growth, if he's not interested in numbers, then why did he say go out and what? Evangelize, spread the gospel, multiply. God's interested in seeing his church progress. God's interested in seeing his church move up and mature and grow, amen? He's interested in having a bigger family, so to speak. And the pastor will want to see that as well. And then my last thought is this, under that passion for believers, he'll want to see you. He'll want to see you individually use your spiritual gifts for God's glory. How many young people we got in here this morning? Let's just say between 15 and 19. Raise your hand. 15 and 19. All right, thank you. You ever get nervous that he's going to call on you to pray? You know, when you're at that age and you're young and you want to live for Jesus, but at the same time you're actually scared somebody's going to ask you to really do it? You know why the preacher encourages you? Sir, I know that you're an introvert. And you don't like talking in front of people? I don't either. I would have never called me to preach. I'd much rather be sitting there with you this morning. But you know why your pastor asks you to do things? You know why your pastor encourages you to do things? You know why the pastor tries to nudge you? Because if you ever take that first step, you broke the ice. And he's not going to ask you to do anything that he won't stand with you and support you when you do it. Be grateful that you got a pastor, that you got people around you that love you enough to try and nudge you to go a little farther. Hey, he ain't asking you to part the Red Sea, he just asked you to take a step. The Lord never asked Moses to part the Red Sea, did he? He just asked him to take a step. I read one guy say this. He said he don't think the water ever moved until Moses did that. He don't think the water even rolled back until Moses raised his foot up. I'm going to tell you, you got a preacher and associate pastor and people here that love you and want to see you grow. And I'm not talking just to the young people. But if you've been in church 45 years and never done anything uncomfortable, that ain't good. That ain't good. You go back and you read and study your Bible. God often took people who were very uncomfortable in certain circumstances and put them right in there. And why is that? Because all the glory goes back to Him. Because He gets all the honor when things are done. And so be grateful that you got a pastor and people that love you and push you and promote you to do more for the kingdom of God. Be glad that you got a pastor that tries to challenge you to grow in your walk. I'm done this morning. Well, I figure I'd get a big amen out of that, huh? But again, I do want to thank y'all so much for having me. And I know that you know you got a good pastor and a good associate pastor. And I believe that you do try to love them and take care of them. But I'm going to tell you what I told you at the first. They're rare. They are hard to find. Casey Creek is still one of the more conservative Baptist churches. And I can't tell you the resumes that came our way that were just generic and that were 180 degrees from where we were wanting to go, of men who were so-called called to preach, called to pastor. Be grateful that God has gifted you with a man, with men, with leaders who will love you, encourage you, challenge you, and give you the biblical truth. Amen? And I haven't said much about this, but I know you know this. Neither one of them are any good without their wife. Oftentimes we make the day pastor appreciation, but she don't go by Pastor Jenny, does she? I'm making sure. He knows I'm kidding. But in all seriousness, I'm useless without mine, I can tell you that. And y'all were very fortunate to have what you have here. I wish we could have the guys off of our pulpit committee come by and just say a brief word to you about what it means to have a good pastor. And love him, be good to him, cherish him, let them know. Anybody here listen to Christian radio station? Got you something to preach on, I'm just kidding. But we know who Luke Bryan is, don't know. I'm just playing. I was listening to 91.5 this past week, and if you ever listen to 91.5 Tabernacle out of Greenville, you know who Brother Scott Dean is. And he made a comment this week, and he's a pastor himself. He said, you know what a lot of church members don't realize? That being a pastor is oftentimes the loneliest life. And you wouldn't think that because he's a people person. He's around you all the time. But you understand that every time he's around you, he's having to hide something that he's dealing with. That oftentimes when he puts a smile on his face and a hug around your neck, his heart is shattered on the inside. And so I tell you that to tell you this, that yeah, when the Lord nudges you to send a text, That's for a reason. When the Lord nudges you to send a card or a phone call, that ain't just a good feeling. That's something that you really ought to do. Love your preacher. Love the people God's put in you, in your life, to help you grow. One fellow said this, if they did it for the money, they would be among the greatest fools. If they did it for the fame, they would be the saddest persons. But they do it because of the call of God. And this is what strengthens, stabilizes, and enables them. Brother Michael John, I love you. I appreciate it. Hope I hadn't made too much of a mess for you. Hope that the Lord will take some of these feeble words, encourage you, and help you to grow in your faith. And if you're here today lost, what I said earlier is what I meant. The gospel is still the best life-changing story you could ever hear. Amen. Brother, I'll turn it over to you.